Welcome to Bite at a Time Books, where we read you your favorite classics one bite at a time. My name is Bree Carlisle, and I love to read, and wanted to share my passion with listeners like you. If you want to know what's coming next and vote on upcoming books, sign up for our newsletter at biteatatimebooks.com. You'll also find our new t-shirts in the shop, including podcast shirts and quote shirts from your favorite classic novels. Be sure to follow my show on your favorite podcast platform so you get all the new episodes. You can find most of our links in the show notes. But also our website, biteatatimebooks.com, includes all of the links for our show, including to our Patreon to support the show, and YouTube, where we have special behind the narration of the episodes. We're part of the Bite at a Time Books Productions Network. If you'd also like to hear what inspired your favorite classic authors to write their novels, and what was going on in the world at the time, check out the Bite at a Time Books Behind the Story podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please note, while we try to keep the text as close to the original as possible, some words have been changed to honor the marginalized communities who've identified the words as harmful, and to stay in alignment with Bite at a Time Books' brand values. Today we'll be continuing Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. Chapter 3. A Hard Bishopric for a Good Bishop. The bishop did not omit his pastoral visits, because he had converted his carriage into alms. The diocese of D is a fatiguing one. There are very few plains and a great many mountains. Hardly any roads, as we have just seen. 32 curacies, 41 vicarships, and 285 auxiliary chapels. To visit all these is quite a task. The bishop managed to do it. He went on foot when it was in the neighborhood, in a tilted spring cart when it was on the plain, and on a donkey in the mountains. The two old women accompanied him. When the trip was too hard for them, he went alone. One day he arrived at Senez, which is an ancient episcopal city. He was mounted on an ass. His purse, which was very dry at that moment, did not permit him any other equipage. The mayor of the town came to receive him at the gate of the town, and watched him dismount from his ass with scandalized eyes. Some of the citizens were laughing around him. "Monsieur the mayor," said the bishop, "and monsieur citizens, I perceive that I shock you. You think it very arrogant in a poor priest to ride an animal which was used by Jesus Christ. I have done so from necessity, I assure you, and not from vanity." In the course of these trips, he was kind and indulgent, and talked rather than preached. He never went far in search of his arguments and his examples. He quoted to the inhabitants of one district the example of a neighboring district. In the cantons where they were harsh to the poor, he said, "Look at the people of Briacon. They have conferred on the poor, on widows and orphans, the right to have their meadows mown 3 days in advance of everyone else. They rebuild their houses for them gratuitously when they are ruined. Therefore, it is a country which is blessed by God. For a whole century, there has not been a single murderer among them." In villages which were greedy for profit and harvest, he said, "Look at the people of Embrun. If at the harvest season the father of a family has a son away on service in the army, and his daughters at service in the town, and if he is ill and incapacitated, the cure recommends him to the prayers of the congregation, and on Sunday after the Mass, all the inhabitants of the village, men, women, and children, go to the poor man's field and do his harvesting for him, and carry his straw and his grain to his granary. The family is divided by questions of money and inheritance," he said. "Look at the mountaineers of Devonny, a country so wild that the nightingale is not heard there once in 50 years. Well, when the father of a family dies, the boys go off to seek their fortunes, leaving the property to the girls so that they may find husbands. To the cantons, which had a taste for lawsuits, and where the farmers ruined themselves in stamped paper," he said, "Look at those good peasants in the valley of Quiris. There are 3,000 souls of them. Mon Dieu, it is like a little republic. Neither judge nor bailiff is known there. The mayor does everything. He allots the imposts, taxes each person conscientiously, judges quarrels for nothing, divides inheritances without charge, pronounces sentences gratuitously, and he is obeyed because he is a just man among simple men. To villages where he found no schoolmaster, he quoted once more the people of Quirus. "You know how they manage," he said, "since a little country of a dozen or 15 hearths cannot always support a teacher. They have schoolmasters who are paid by the whole valley, who make the round of the villages, spending a week in this one, 10 days in that, and instruct them. These teachers go to the fairs. I have seen them there. They are to be recognized by the quill pens which they wear in the cord of their hat. Those who teach reading only have one pen. Those who teach reading and reckoning have two pens. Those who teach reading, reckoning, and Latin have three pens. Oh, what a disgrace to be ignorant. Do like the people of Quirus." Thus he discoursed gravely and paternally. In default of examples, he invented parables going directly to the point, with few phrases and many images which characteristic formed the real eloquence of Jesus Christ. And being convinced himself, he was persuasive. Thank you for joining Bite at a Time Books today, while we read a bite of one of your favorite classics. Again, my name is Bree Carlisle, and I hope you come back tomorrow for the next bite of Les Miserables. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at biteatatimebooks.com and check out the shop. You can check out the show notes or our website, biteatatimebooks.com, for the rest of the links for our show. We'd love to hear from you on social media as well.